Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on grace versus the law was recorded at our 2010 Minneapolis Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
There are Old Testament laws concerning what you could drink. Most of you don't even know what those are, so I guess you aren't bound by those. And about holy days, most of you don't keep the new moon and all this. And it says of the new moons, how many of you offered a sacrifice according to what the Bible commanded you did last new moon? How many of you know when the last new moon was? Most of us, see, we realize, I'm not under that. Well, in the same verse 16, it says, or of the Sabbath days. Most Christians will sit here and say, oh yeah, we don't have to observe all these dietary laws. Christ redeemed us. 2 Peter chapter 4 says, if anybody says that you can't eat certain meat, it is a doctrine of the devil. Pretty strong statement. And most of us say, oh yeah, I'm free from that. I'm free from the drink laws. I'm free from observing the feast. I'm free from offering sacrifices every new moon. Every time you have a child, you don't have to offer a blood sacrifice and pay a duty the way that they did in the Old Testament. We say that we're free from those things. But then the Sabbath, we still got to keep the Sabbath. Did you know that the Sabbath isn't Sunday? The Sabbath is sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. So does this mean we're all supposed to become Seventh-day Adventists? No, because they aren't keeping the Sabbath either. They would say that they are, but Hebrews chapter 4 shows you that the Sabbath, what just like it says in Colossians 2:17, they were types and shadows of something that was to come. And they were strictly enforced under the Old Testament. People were killed for breaking the Sabbath, such as the man who picked up sticks to make a fire so that he could eat something. He was killed in Numbers chapter 15. The Sabbath was strictly enforced, but it was only a shadow of something that was to come. And it was picturing a relationship with God. I've got a teaching entitled Our Sabbath Rest. If you don't have that, you ought to get it. It is a powerful, powerful, powerful teaching. It's awesome. I'm not going to teach it right now, but it's really important. The Sabbath is not an observance of a day. It's a relationship with God. Hebrews chapter 4 makes that very clear. And see, some people will say, oh yeah, we're redeemed from those first four things, but the Sabbath we got. How can you just sit there and dissect the word like that and not be honest with the context? If you're redeemed from those first four things, you're redeemed from the fifth thing. And did you know that the keeping the Sabbath was the fifth of the Ten Commandments? And it's no longer in effect. Not the observance of a day. Now we live the Sabbath rest. I know I'm messing with some of y'all's heads, but you know what? If you don't change something, you aren't going to change. Unless you change the way you think, you aren't going to get any different results. It says, we know that whatsoever things were written in the law were written to them who were under the law. The law wasn't even intended for most of us in this room, and yet we've been established and grounded and schooled in the law. And we are under condemnation that we shouldn't have ever been under. What was the purpose of the law? It says again in Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. And here's the purpose, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty. For those of you that had an excuse, well, you don't understand. I was raised in a dysfunctional family and that's the reason I'm this way. And I had this happen and I had that happen. And you got all of these excuses. The law doesn't accept excuses. The law doesn't take into account motives. The law doesn't take into account extenuating circumstances. It doesn't judge anything. You go out and pick up sticks on the Sabbath day, it doesn't matter if you were hungry, and it doesn't matter if you meant well by it, you die. You do something wrong, boom. There is no mercy under the law. The law doesn't make exemptions. It was just without anything. It was to stop your excuses. The law stopped your mouth from making excuses and made you guilty before God. You know, if you feel guilty and condemned, you know where it came from? The law. The law is what gives you this sense of guilt. In verse 20 it says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You cannot be justified by the law, by keeping rules, living holy, doing certain things. Nobody can be justified. Look at verse 28. I'm going to come back, but in verse 28 of this same chapter, it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Faith is what produces justification in you, not keeping a set of rules and living up to a standard of holiness. Man, if words mean anything, how do people get around this? Romans chapter 5, verse 1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. The only way you can be justified is by faith, not by living up to some code, not by doing something. And yet the vast majority of what's called Christianity today is telling people, if you will come to church and live holy, and if you'll join this church, and if you'll do this and this and this, then you'll be justified in the sight of God. And they are linking your salvation and your justification to what you do. The Bible says that is not the purpose of the law. No flesh will be justified by the law. Nobody. It cannot happen. This is against the message of the vast majority of the church today. And yet I'm reading Scripture to you. Because the law gives knowledge of sin. It doesn't give knowledge of salvation. It doesn't tell you the way out. All it does is tell you you're guilty. You deserve judgment. You should die. You're wrong. That's all the law will do. It'll never compliment you. And the law will never show you anything good. If you did 99 things right and one thing wrong, the law will condemn you over the one thing wrong and make you guilty. It won't give you a compliment and say, well, you did 99 things right. You're doing better. You're getting closer, but you still missed it. Just try a little harder. That's not the law. The law will sit there and condemn you and make you feel, if you miss one thing, like you are guilty of committing everything. I was under the law more than most of you in here. I remember one time I fasted and prayed and studied the Word all day long. I read all of the New Testament except one book in the New Testament. I spent 17 hours studying the Word, and I was beginning to feel real smug about that. And I was praying and saying, thank you, Father, that I'm not like this publican over here. I fast twice in the week. I read the Bible 17 hours today. And I was beginning to feel really smug. And you know what? The law jumped up and bit me and said, you were up 18 hours. You wasted 1 hour. And I, before the day was over, I was, oh, God, I'm sorry that I didn't serve you with all of my heart. And I was condemned. Some of you think, boy, you were weird. That's what the law will do to you. The law will literally make you crazy. That's what Paul said over in Galatians chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Man, it's demonic deception. It's foolish. It's stupid to be legalistic. Nobody can ever serve God and earn it. See, this message is offensive to people who are really pleased with how holy they are. Because you're saying all of my goodness doesn't give me a leg up on you. That's exactly right. Now, if you live a good life, it may keep you from being condemned in ways that other people that have gone out and murdered and stolen and done things that hurt them and have destroyed their body. There are benefits to living a holy life. But as far as God, if you are holy versus the person sitting next to you who's been a sinner, all of these things, both of you can access God through Jesus and get the exact same results on the basis of what Jesus did, and you don't have any advantage over the other person. You may not have some of the hindrances of the devil, some of the condemnation, but you don't have any greater access to God. You have to access God through Jesus and not through your goodness. It goes on to say in verse 23, or where am I? Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. This is so offensive. You can be righteous without keeping the law, without doing all of these things. That's exactly what the Bible says. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That's saying that the Old Testament law prophesied that it wasn't complete. It didn't save anybody. It prophesied that there was coming a Messiah. In the Old Testament law, it gave you all of these standards, but then it gave sacrifices, and those sacrifices were all pictures of Jesus coming, and it prophesied. And so there isn't any contradiction between the New Covenant and the Old Covenant if you use them correctly. The Old Covenant led people to a Savior. It showed you your need for a Savior. And as Galatians chapter 3 says, it shuts you up unto faith. But if you try and mix the two so that you're part law and part grace, it's impossible. They're contrary to each other. They negate each other. The Old Testament law was to bring you to the end of yourself so that you would trust in Jesus as a Savior, but it was incapable of saving you. He goes on to say in the next verse, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace. Man, there's a lot in those verses. I got a bunch of verses to read. Let me just skip on. I pray that you will study that. That's powerful. In chapter 4, in verse 13, it says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which be of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. It's showing you that the law did not ever put anybody in right standing with God. God didn't accept Abraham because he deserved it. Abraham did a lot of things wrong, right? Lied about his wife twice. Was willing to let another man commit adultery with his wife to save his own neck. You know, sometimes we read over that in Scripture and people don't think about this. But if somebody wanted to come and take Jamie from me, and I said, I've never seen this lady before. Help yourself. I'm looked the other way. And if something like that happened, I guarantee you it would be right for me to be scandalized over that. That's wrong. I'm not taking care of my wife. Abraham was wrong.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on grace versus the law. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Minneapolis Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM241C for CD or RM241D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'd like to invite you to join me as a partner of our Gospel Truth ministry. You know, we are reaching the world not only through radio, but also television, DVDs, books, CDs, just every way that we possibly can. We have Bible schools scattered around the world. We are preaching the gospel literally around the world. Over 2.2 billion people can get our broadcast and our materials, and it just takes a lot of money to make all of that happen. So I'd like to invite you to join with me on a monthly basis as our partner. Our announcer is going to give you some information, and I encourage you to pray about it and then call or write today and become a partner with the Gospel Truth.